Let me read a couple of verses here in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. In verse 6 it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now I want to talk to you for a few minutes here this evening in regard to that great and glorious gift that God hath given to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you a little bit of what happened when God incarnated himself. Here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, now he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always necessary for us to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is God and man, one person. Need to remember that deity and humanity joined, united, linked in one person. Deity and humanity in one person. That one person is the Christ of God. And that's who he's talking about here in this first chapter when he says that God at sundry times and divers manners, different times, different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That was the prophets in the Old Testament time. God spoke to the people through the prophets. Moses was a prophet. Now, he says, "Hath in these last days he spoken unto us by Son," or by his Son. Not speaking now to us through a prophet like he did through Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and those fellows and Jonah. There's not major prophets and minor prophets. No prophets at all. If he speaks now, he speaks through his Son. That's the only place, the only person, the only medium and manner that God communicates with his people is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the Word made flesh. The living Word made the written Word. And that's how He speaks to us. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed. Remember, we talked about the anointing and appointing of the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father. God, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Heir of all things. Another place it says He hath given Him power over all flesh. Power over everything in heaven, power over everything in earth. As a reward for what He did. He's worthy of that. Gave Him a name which is above every name. Worthy of that office. Worthy of being our advocate and our intercessor. He's our advocate in the sense He's our lawyer. He speaks for us. He's our intercessor. Intercedes for us. Day in and day out. Hour in and hour out. He pleads before God as our advocate and intercessor. If any man sin, we have an advocate. Even we have an advocate with the Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ, our intercessor, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory. Now, He's talking about the Lord Jesus, that He's the brightness of the glory of God. Now, I told you the glory of God's His holiness and the express image of His person, and upholdeth all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself alone. We talked there a little bit before church, the brethren there, about folks talking about losing their salvation. Afraid maybe they might lose it. Well, if they had anything to do with it, it's possible they could lose it if they had something to do with it. But if they didn't have anything to do with their salvation, then they can't lose it. If God is the author of salvation, if the Lord Jesus Christ Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of Majesty on high, if He did it all, if God in Christ did it all, then we can't lose it. There's no way we can lose salvation, because it's in the hands of God. It's God Himself in Christ that wrought salvation, made atonement, made reconciliation, established righteousness, bore the penalty due our sins. How can we lose it if it's all of God? Can't lose it. If you got anything to do with it, you can lose it. And all the Armenians, you know, that believe that salvation is according to their will and wishes and desires, and according to their prayers and according to their works, they can lose theirs. But if it's all of God, you ain't going to lose it. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, Let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? Who does that? Now, He says, but under the Son. This is the part I want you to think about. But under the Son, He saith. This is what He says to the Son. Thy throne, O God. God the Father refers to the Son as O God. See? Under the Son, He says, Thy throne. Ain't nobody got a throne but God. There's only one true and living God, and He's got a throne. There's only one king and one crown. There's only one kingdom and one heir to that kingdom. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's God. But under the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. No end to it. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. All right? In light of those passages that I read to you there, there is in this redeeming person, God's Christ, one God has sent, there is in this redeeming person a union of two natures. He is God and man in one person. God and man, all God and all man in one person. And they refer to Him in the Scriptures several times as the God-man. The God-man. Now, He is called God in the verse that I read to you, verse 8, of having a throne forever and ever. Now, He's the seed of David according to the flesh. And He's declared to be the Son of God according to the resurrection. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 14, I reminded you of it already, the Word was made flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and He become the Word of flesh. The living Word become the Word of flesh. The Word from eternity was made flesh in time. The Word and flesh in one person. Word and flesh in one person. In other words, a great and glorious God and a little infant in one person. A great and glorious God and a little baby in one person. Now, the terms of this union, this uniting of God and man in one person. The terms of this union were infinitely distant. In other words, what greater distance can there be between deity and humanity? Imagine the distance between God and humanity. The distance is so great, it's inconceivable to even think about measuring the distance that man and God are so far apart. God, deity, and humanity. So I say that the terms of this union that we're talking about, that God and man in one person, was infinitely distant. What greater distance can there be between deity and humanity? Between the Creator God and the creature? What great and far distance, poles, poles apart, eternities apart. Can you imagine the distance between eternity and time? Can't conceive of that. Can you imagine the distance between infinite power and miserable infirmity? I'm saying all this in order that you and I might come to appreciate how God emptied Himself when He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave all that He had. No more to give when He gave Christ. Christ left eternity, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He left eternity, left the riches of glory, and came here and become a man. Oh, the distance between time and eternity. The Word was made flesh. Great distance. Great. Can you imagine the separation the distance between an immortal spirit and dying flesh. God is an immortal spirit. You and I are dying flesh. We're dying by inches. We've been dying since we came forth from our mother's womb. We've been dying in the process of decay and dying. The highest being, can you imagine the distance between the highest being, that's God, no higher than God. The distance between the highest being and nothing. You and I are nothing less than nothing. What are we? We're the dust. We came from the dust. The highest being came and joined himself to that which is nothing and become one person. Can you imagine a God like our God, the true and the living God? A God over all and above all, none like unto Him, none can be compared to Him. A God that is so vast in greatness and glory that we can't even imagine the vastness of the glory and the holiness and the goodness and mercy of God Almighty. A God of unmixed blessedness is joined personally with a man of perpetual sorrows. A life incapable to die. That's God. He can't die. I oftentimes say, God, they're going to kill God or something, but those are just human expressions. God cannot be killed. There's none greater than God. Who can stay His hand or thwart His purpose? He doeth whatsoever He will in the armies of heaven. And He says, who can withstand Me? Well, a life incapable to die, joined to a body in that economy, incapable to live unless He dies first. See? God joining Himself to us. A life that's incapable to die to a life that is incapable to live until it dies first. Oh, listen. Infinite purity. Talked about the purity of God. I told you that He is so good He cannot be bad. And I'll add this to it this evening. That God is so good that He cannot be bad. And man is so bad that he cannot be good. God is so holy he can't be unholy. Man is so unholy he can't be holy. But yet God of unmixed blessedness joins himself to this nothing. And they become united and become one person. My, what grace that God would condescend and be concerned about you and I. For what reason? What reason could you think of that God would be concerned with human flesh? My God, He could have made 10,000 worlds. He could have let this world go to hell and everyone in it and made another one, repopulated it if He wanted to. But that wasn't His will. That wasn't His good pleasure. Eternal, infinite purity to a reputed sinner like you and I. Eternal blessedness with a cursed nature. We got the cursed nature. Almightiness. Almighty God. What does that mean? Almighty. Almighty God. We say that, don't we? Almighty God. That means there's nothing too hard for God. He's almighty. He can cause the Red Sea to stop. He can cause the sun to quit shining. It's almighty God. Nothing too hard for our God.
almightiness and weakness joined together. We're weak as water. Weak as water. No stability about us. You can't put any confidence or trust in human flesh. Liable to do anything at any time to anybody. Oh, my soul. Almightiness and weakness joined together, united together in one person. Omniscience, omniscience. The omniscience of God knows everything before it happens. Knows the end from the beginning. You can't tell God anything. He knows all there is to know. Omniscient and ignorance joined together in one person. That's what I'm talking about. God coming down and take it upon Himself. Human flesh. God and man in one person. Immutability. I've told you many times what immutability means. It means God cannot change. It doesn't mean God will or can. It means He cannot change. God cannot change. And let me tell you, that's part of God's glory. Anything that God can do that you cannot do is God's glory. And God cannot change. And you can. You and I change all the time, but God cannot change. Whatever God has said, He has said forever. He'll never go back on His word. He'll never change His mind. You can't get God to change His mind when His mind is already made up as to what He's going to do. You can't get Him to change His mind. He won't change His mind. He's immutable. Immutability and changeableness joined together, united in one person. See? God, this is the way it had to be if we was ever going to be saved. A man couldn't save us. Only the God-man can save us. God-man, one person. See? Think about this now. That which cannot be comprehended. Can't comprehend God. We can't even imagine. In our wildest dreams, eye hath not seen, nor entered into the heart of man, all that God is, and all that God has done. The worthiness of God. That which cannot be comprehended, and that which can be comprehended, joined together in one person. Marvelous thing, isn't it? Marvelous thing. God doing that for us. That which is entirely independent. God is not dependent upon anybody. Won't you do something for God? God doesn't need your help. I'm not to say that you're not to serve God and serve your generation and all that, but if what motivates you that you think you're doing something for God and helping God out, something He couldn't do Himself, then you're on the wrong track, because God is altogether independent. He needs no help. And He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask it of you or me. But listen, I only say that to say this. That which is entirely independent to that which is totally dependent on. And that's us. Joined together, see, in one flesh. United in one flesh. That is, the Creator God forming all things. Everything that was made, was formed by God. Every particle of dust, everything that moves and wiggles, every drop of water, every flake of snow, every breath of wind, every leaf formed on every tree, the Creator God forming all things, and the creature made. He made us out of the dust. Meet together in a personal union. God and man, one person. That's what happened when God became a man. That's a great mystery. God become a man. God become a man. That a person possessed of all these perfections of the Godhead should inherit all the imperfections of manhood in one person. In one person. Sin only accepted. A holiness incapable of sinning to be made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin in order that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of deity and nothingness, the fullness of deity and emptiness joined together in one person. It may be said that God suffered and God was crucified. That may be said. God suffered. God was crucified. For the person of Christ is but one person. And the person that suffered was the God-man united, joined together, God and man in one person. And that's the message that came from heaven through the Lord Jesus. That God sent one to rescue poor damned sinners who can't save themselves. He sent Him. And He become a man like their man. He had to become a man because it was a man that sinned against God. And He, as a man, met all the requirements that God had laid upon man. Met them all. Honored and magnified the law on their behalf. Suffered the penalties due them. Made them accepted in the Beloved. Who did this? The God-man. He did it all. And all to Him we owe. Isn't that right? All to Him we owe. Owe it all to Him. All glory and honor and majesty and might and power belongeth unto our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's worthy of it. Because He's the one who emptied Himself of all of His glory and came here and joined Himself to nothingness. And as a man, redeemed us, made atonement for our sins. He ever lives as our intercessor and advocate. Keep us straight. He died to make us clean. He ever lives to keep us clean. God bless His name. Thank the Lord for our dear Savior who left heaven's shore and came and redeemed poor sinners like you and I. Redeemed us with His blood. Died. He really suffered and He really died and He really rose again. And because He lives, we shall also live. Good hope, isn't it? Good hope. Our salvation's tied up, shut up, bound up, wrapped up in Him. And we can't lose it because it's in Him. And we're kept. We're kept by the power of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.